Back again with John MacArthur in the Grace to You audio blog. If you haven't heard, there's a discussion underway at gty.org. When John is done, get the info on how to get involved.
Listen to me, because what I'm going to say is very important. It is not necessary to reject the six-day creation. It is not necessary. We have yielded up territory to evolution without cause. Science knows nothing. Science proves nothing that contradicts a six-day creation. Nothing. In fact, science, as it keeps advancing, makes its own claims to evolution ridiculous, more ridiculous all the time. You know, and having a perspective on this is very important. We've caved in to the scientists too long, and it's time to stop. If you want to do some reading on this, get Philip Johnson's book, Darwin on Trial. It just devastates the scientific perspectives. Christian people literally accepting the scientific descriptions of origins that come out of an evolutionary bias as if somehow they've been proven and somehow the Bible is going to have to give at that point because a six-day creation is not scientifically possible. That is just not true. And most Christian leaders and most Christian educators have allowed the teachings of evolution to one degree or another to be added to the Bible. They sort of stuff evolution in between the verses in Genesis. Most Christian leaders have accepted the fact that the universe is billions of years old. Yet clearly from the words of Scripture, God created the universe in six literal days. And Christian leaders can't deny that that's what it says, because that's what it says. You can translate it any way you want. It all comes out. The word yom means day, and you have six of them. But they believe somehow that scientists have proved that the age of the earth must be billions and billions and billions of years old. So they believe we got to go back to Genesis and fix it. And in so doing, they have allowed the authority of the Bible to be undermined, right? Serious stuff. If the words of the Bible mean 6 days, and you conclude, but so-called science says that's not true, then science is right and the Bible is wrong. Now, if you can't trust the words of Genesis, when do you start trusting the Bible? That's a sad indictment of the church, isn't it? And the humanists even use the compromising Christian leaders to further their cause to undermine Christianity. And what we have is a kind of Christianity today that loses its absolutes in Genesis 1. Now, that's sad. Christian leaders might not sign on, of course, to humanistic evolution. They would say, yes, there's a God, and somehow God's involved in the evolutionary process. That's called theistic evolution. But they would say, no, there is a God, and God is sort of injects himself at points at theistic evolution, says God launched it and started it. Progressive creationism says he jumps in along the way. But it still took millions and millions and billions of years for it to happen. These people call themselves believers in God. They probably would say they believe the Scripture, but they don't want to allow for a six-day creation. This poses immense problems, immense problems. Here's one of them. I'm not going to give you all, but here's one. Just strikes me as a serious problem. If man is created at the end of the evolutionary process, whether it's a naturalistic evolutionary process or it's a theistic evolutionary process launched by God, which some Christians think they have to affirm in order to pay homage to science, or if it's a progressive creationist view where God injects himself along the way. The problem you've got is evolution is a process, listen carefully, evolution is a process by nature of death. It's a process known as the survival of what? The fittest. It's a process of violence. It's a process of bloodshed. It's a process of suffering. It's a process of disease. It's a process of death as the order rises higher and higher and higher until it gets to man. Now, here's a serious problem. You don't have man until billions of years, and when man appears, he is perfect and he is sinless, and there's no such thing as death. Death doesn't even come into the picture until man does what? Sins. How can you have death before the fall? You don't even have a cursed earth. The whole of the Genesis record is stood on its head. If there's been all kinds of death in this billions of years of evolutionary processing, then what did sin do to the world that hadn't already been done? And how could God, who looked over this whole evolutionary deal when it finally reached its completion in man and said he saw it and he looked at it and he said it is good. How could God say that? You see, then the sin of Adam and the curse of death is meaningless because there's been death for millennia and for billions of years. It just convolutes all of the biblical record. Because what you have in Genesis is a perfect world until Adam falls into sin and God curses the universe, and then comes death and disease and suffering and violence and bloodshed, and not before. Evolution makes no sense in that perspective. You know, Christians will get out there, you know, and they'll say, boy, we're against abortion, and we're against homosexuality, and we're against murdering people, and we're against euthanasia, and we're against genocide, and, you know, we're against the moral evils of our society, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Why are we against those things? Can you tell me why? Why are we against those things? Give me one reason. Here it is. Because they're forbidden in Scripture. Is that not true? The only reason we're against abortion is because God's against it. How do we know that? Because it's in the Word of God. The reason we're against homosexuality, adultery, et cetera, et cetera, is because of the Bible. See, we stand on the Scripture. But the problem is, we don't want to stand on the Scripture in Genesis. So we equivocate on whether or not the Bible is an authority at all. What do you think the watching world thinks about our commitment to Scripture? Pretty selective, isn't it? And again, I say, such capitulation to evolution is completely unnecessary. Nothing requires evolution. In fact, evolution cannot happen. It can't happen.
Now that you've heard from John, let us know what you think. Go to gty.org/audioblog and leave your comment. Again, that's gty.org/audioblog. Thanks for listening.